Parshas Beshalach, in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, a famous Pasuk, a famous Mishnah, and a famous song. V'hoyo kasher yorim Moshe yodoi v'govar Yisrael. And it was when Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands. This is of course referring to the battle that Klal Yisrael had with the Amalek. When Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands, v'govar Yisrael, then they were victorious. Kasher yoniach yodoi, when however he put his hands down, v'govar Amalek, then the tides turned and Amalek were victorious. So we all know the Mishnah, the end of Rosh Hashanah, which says, "Chi yodav shel Moshe oiseis melchama, oishoivreis melchama." Is it the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu that can make or break war? They dictate the case of the course of the war. Says the Mishnah, no, not at all. Ela loy malacha. As long as the Jewish nation were looking upwards towards heaven, as long as they subjugated their heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so really it wasn't actually dependent, sounds like, on the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather it really depended on whether Klal Yisrael looked heavenward and were mishtabed libom to Avinu Shebashomayim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shomayim, and at that point they won the war. And when they did not look upward, then they did not win the war. So l'chaira, there is a very obvious question over here. It turns out, at least that's what it sounds like in the Mishnah, that ultimately, what was the battle dependent on? It wasn't dependent on the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu at all. It was really dependent on whether Klal Yisrael looked up towards Shomayim or not. Well, if that's the case, then we need to go back to the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands, they were victorious, and when he put his hands down, they lost. But you're telling me that it's not dependent on Moshe Rabbeinu's hands. What is it really dependent on? Whether Klal Yisrael looked up in Shomayim. Well, why doesn't it say that in the Pasuk then? Why doesn't it say in the Pasuk, and when Klal Yisrael looked up to Shomayim, they were victorious, and when they stopped doing so, then Amalek were victorious? In other words, the Mishnah has asked a very wonderful question. Is it the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu that dictate the course of war? And what has the Mishnah answered? No, it's something else. Well, why doesn't it write that something else then in the Pasuk? The Pasuk does seem to intimate very clearly that the success or otherwise of Klal Yisrael in this battle depended on whether Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands or not. So I think that the answer is as follows, a possible answer. There is a sefer on Maseches Rosh Hashanah written 400 or 500 years ago. The sefer is called Yom Teruah. And the Yom Teruah explains this Mishnah in a very novel way. And he says as follows, and I'll read you the words. Moshe Hoya Shluchoi Shal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact the emissary, was the shliach of Klal Yisrael lehispalel, to daven. Ah, that's already a big chiddush. We're not told that in the Pasuk. He is learning that what does it mean hands go up and hands go down? It really means davening or not davening. When we daven, we, as it were, raise our hands heavenwards. In fact, we find in Pashas Vo'era, when Moshe Rabbeinu davened, he says, Vo'efreis kapi, and I raise my hands towards Shemayim. Raising hands is a reference to tefillah. Says the Yom Teruah, that's exactly what it means over here. But listen to this chiddush now. He says, when Klal Yisrael looked heavenward, and were mishtabed libom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that gave Moshe Rabbeinu the koyach to lift up his hands and daven.
And when they were not mistaklim klapamalo, hoyo nechlash.
Then his hands weakened. Nechlash koicho, his koyach weakened, and his hands went down. So listen to how the Yom Tshuva is learning this whole episode. Klal Yisrael look upwards to Shomayim, and they subjugate themselves to heaven and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That injects Moshe Rabbeinu with koyach, and he's able to lift his hands and to daven for Klal Yisrael. He continues and he says, that in fact was the question of the Mishnah. Let's go back to the Mishnah now. What does the Mishnah say? Do the hands of Moshe dictate the course of war? What, his hands can make and break war? Now let's stop. 1 second. If lifting up hands means davening, so what's the question of the Mishnah? What's the question of the Mishnah? Can Moshe Rabbeinu's hands dictate the course of war? Yes, they can. If he davens, they win. And if he doesn't, they don't. So what's the big kasha? Says the Yom Tshuva, an unbelievable thing. He says, do you know what the kasha of the Mishnah was? Can it be, he says, this is what the Mishnah was questioning, can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu can daven on behalf of Klal Yisrael without Klal Yisrael's participation? Of course, Tefillah can do everything. Can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was davening Beli Hachnoas Yisrael without Klal Yisrael? Where do they appear in the picture? What, they just sat, do nothing, and Moshe Rabbeinu just davened to them? It's a freebie? What does the Mishnah answer? No, it wasn't free. To the contrary, his koyach to daven is triggered by Klal Yisrael being mishtabed libam la'aviyem shebashamayim. He says that was the question, that was the answer. The shayla was, can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, which means his tefillos, can be successful without the participation of Klal Yisrael? And the answer in one word is no. But what did they do? The answer is they had to look upwards. That's Mishtabed Libam Sapamala. That's what he says. According to the Yom Tshuva, therefore, we understand, therefore, that ultimately, what was it, therefore, that really brought about the success in battle on behalf of Klal Yisrael? It was the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course it was. It's just that you needed the injection on behalf of Klal Yisrael to give that koyach to Moshe Rabbeinu to daven. In which case we have answered the question that we began with. We read the pasuk. The pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, they won. And when he put his hands down, they lost. So what was our question? But the Mishnah says it was nothing to do with his hands. It was all to do with Klal Yisrael. So why does the pasuk talk about the hands? According to Yom Tshuva, we understand. Of course the hands had everything to do with it. Ultimately, what decided the course of this battle? Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. No question about it. When he davened, they were matzliach. When he didn't daven, they were not. All the Mishnah was querying was, how can it be that he can daven without Klal Yisrael participating in any way? And the answer was, don't worry, they participated. In fact, not only did they participate, they were the ones who infused Moshe Rabbeinu with koyach. But ultimately, what was this milchama dependent on? The Yodayim Shel Moshe. When there was tefillah, there were matzliach. When there was no tefillah, there was not matzliach. And Meir Rabbeisai, this brings us to the second subject that I wanted to discuss with you tonight, but it's very much dependent on the first. I remember I was in somebody's car a few years ago. It was Parshas Beshalach, and it was Tuesday. And he said to me, you know what today is, don't you? I said, yeah, it's Tuesday. Tuesday. Today is Super Tuesday. I said, really? Who's playing? Super Tuesday. He said, no, I'm playing. You don't know what Super Tuesday is? I said, no, I've never heard of it. He looked at me aghast. Don't know what Super Tuesday is? I said, tell me, what's Super Tuesday? He said, come on, everybody knows. Parshas Beshalach, Tuesday, if you read the parasha of the Mon, That's it, you're guaranteed parnasa for the whole year. Well, if you didn't say it, sorry, you blew it for the year. You have to wait till next year. That was my induction to Super Tuesday. I want to share with you a very, very important yisayid. I initially heard this from Rav Kirshenbaum a number of years ago. I'm pretty much basing some of what I'm saying on what he said, but I'd like to expound a little bit. I want to ask a very naughty question. The Mishnah says, did the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu dictate the course of war? What? Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, they can make and break war? 1 second. Maybe, yeah. Maybe he had some magical, incredible, koyach hands. 1 second. When he hit the water with a stick and it turned into dam or came clear something, and everybody was bothered? So maybe he had incredible hands, had unbelievable koyachos. And whenever he lifted up, I don't know, it was a skula, as soon as he lifted up his hands, that's it, Klal Yisrael Matzliach. Why? I don't know. What was the kasha of the Mishnah? Can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands make war? Yeah, can be. Really, how? I don't know, but he had super duper, if you have Super Tuesday, you could certainly have Moshe Rabbeinu's super hands. What was the kasha of the Mishnah? You know what the kasha of the Mishnah was? This is the Yisrael. Yiddishkeit, Avodas Hashem, is not about freebies. It's not about freebies. Can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael, needed a serious miracle? They needed a lot of Siyata Dishmaya. So what was going to bring it about for them? What, Moshe Rabbeinu just lifting up his hands? That's going to do it for them, says the Mishnah Chas V'Shalom. They needed to daven. Oh, daven. Okay, now I answer. Now I understand. Whenever Mishtabed Libom Klapa Malo, or as the Yom Tzura says, it was Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. But this whole thing came about through tefillah. On whose part? Everybody's part. Moshe Rabbeinu davened. What injected Moshe Rabbeinu with the Koyach Klal Yisrael needed to Mishtabed? There was no freebie. There was no skula. The Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, next week's Parsha, called Klal Yisrael the Am Skula. People have said, yeah, because it means that Klal Yisrael, they like skulas. We all like a good skula. I want to share with you a few examples of skulas that are very, very famous. And I'm sure most people have heard of them, but I would venture to suggest that a lot of people don't know the source and don't know how it works, and we'll see every single skula, one after another, is just a way of davening and being mischazik in emuna and bitochen. That's all it is. There's no freebies in Yiddishkeit. So let's start with Super Tuesday. A number of years ago, I was at a Shalom Zocher Friday night, Parshas B'Shalach. It was a very big crowd there, and in walked the Rav of Beis Tfila, Rav Chaim Zev Milinowitz, huge Talmud Chacham, never scared to express his opinion or mince his words. So he sat down, there was a big crowd there, and he said, "My Rav Rabbeisa," it must be 30 or 40 people. He said, "My Rav Rabbeisa, tell me, I want a show of hands. Who said Parshas Hamon this Tuesday?" Every single person in that room, every single person's hand went up. Except mine. Every single hand went up. He says, "Okay, all put your hands down now." He said, "Tell me, next question. Who says Parshas Hamon every single day?" Not a single hand went up. Sri Milinowitz said in his own inimitable style, "Well, let me tell you, everybody, all of you who said Parshas Hamon this Tuesday, total waste of time." Complete silence. He says, "Are any of you aware that it actually says in Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to say Parshas Hamon every day?" Shulchan Aruch. "Well, I didn't get that far in Shulchan Aruch." "Bad excuse. It's in Siman Aleph." "It's the first Siman in the book. You open up Shulchan Aruch, Siman Aleph. It says it's Toiv. It doesn't say Yechayev. It
says it's Toiv Loima Parshas Hamon every day.
So Super Tuesday is actually Super every day. 1 second. Says the Mishnah Berurah, firstly you should know, Mishnah Berurah says, when it says you should say, listen to the words of Mishnah Berurah, Ve'ein Dai Ba'amira. It doesn't suffice just to say the words. Eloshis Boinein.
You have to understand Mashahu Oimer. V'yakir nifloois Hashem, and recognize the tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
In fact, if you look in the Beis Yosef, right there, in Siman Aleph, first page of the book, the Beis Yosef quotes this, and he says, I'll tell you how this works.
Skula!
No skula. He says, if you say the Parshas Hamon every day, and you understand it, and you think about it, and you recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful Koyach in the world, who's Mashiach in every single individual, and he's the one who is Mefarnes and provides to the needs of everybody. That way you are Mischazek in Emunah and Bitochen Bashem, and that's why you can be Zeicher to Parnosa. What a freebie. That's a skula. It's just a very simple mechanism. If you say the Parshas Hamon on a regular basis, the Kavona, then that will be Mechazek your Emunah and Bitochen.
Someone showed me on their phone yesterday, they got an email. The name has apparently changed now. It says Golden Tuesday, with a big slogan, this only happens once a year.
He's arguing with Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says it happens every day of the year.
You know how the Shulchan Aruch carries on? Toiv, it's good to say the parasha of the Akedah.
Oh, what's that a skula for?
Nothing.
Says the Mishnah Berurah there. Because if you say the Akedah and you think about it, not just mumble fumble the words, and you'll think about the tremendous mysterious nefesh on the part of Avram and Yitzchak, and you will try and emulate that, then indeed you'll be zeicher to wonderful things.
Carries on the Shulchan Aruch. Toiv loima aseres hadibros.
Oh, that's got to be a good skula for something. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you say Aseres HaDibros every day, again, doesn't say Yechayat, Toiv. If you say Aseres HaDibros every day, then you will remember Maimed Har Sinai. And you will remember and recall and revise how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, appeared to Klal Yisrael, and that way, again, you will trigger a chizuk in Emunah Bashem. The Shulchan Aruch continues and says, Toiv Loima Parashas Karbonis.
You should say, we say that in the beginning, although the Yodzal is certainly said it.
But some people come dubbing late and they miss it. I remember when I was in Gateshead, my Miller, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the head of the girls' seminary, always used to say famously, people come to davening, the first thing that people sacrifice when they come to davening is the Karbonis. Because they come late. But if you come on time and you say the Pasha of the Karbonis, we have to know it comes from Chazal. Says the Gemara, it's a Gemara. The Gemara is Menachos. You know what it says in Menachos? Zois Teiras HaChatos. Zois Teiras HaOshom. Whoever learns the halachas of Chatos, it's as if you are makriv the Karbonis.
Oh, wow. What a freebie. It's much cheaper. Definitely much cheaper. Do you know what Rabbeinu Bachai says in Parashas Tzav? Listen to the words of Rabbeinu Bachai. Unbelievable.
V'ha'inyan. How does this work? How does learning the Parashah of Karbonis all of a sudden tantamount to as if you were actually makriv of them? How does that work? He says, I'll explain to you.
Shehu misboinin.
Key word. He understands. He doesn't just rattle it up. He understands what he's saying. And he understands the inyonim of the karbonis and the wondrous nature of them. Uvazeh yishtadel yoyseh. That way he'll put in more effort. Bekiyum ha-toyroh v'ha-mitzvah.
That's a freebie, which is a very practical mechanism.
If you learn the Korbanos and you realize what it's all about, you'll be mischazek in Torah and in Mitzvah Hashem. Here's another one. The Gemara says, and Mishnah Berurah quoted, Rabbeinu Bachai there quoted as well. Anybody who says Ashrei three times a day, it says in the Gemara, Muftach loy. Muftach means guaranteed, he's a Ben Arilom HaBo.
One second, this is a bit unfair.
We were doing Torah mitzvahs all day to try and get an Olam Haba. Apparently, it takes about 5 minutes a day. You just have to say Ashrei three times a day. We say once in Pesukei D'Zimra, once at the end of Shacharit, and once for Mincha, and that's it, I'm in. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, he quotes this and says, no. Do you know how this works? Says, skula? Oh, skula. Hakavona, kimitoich sheyisboinein. Again, that word, through understanding. All the psukim, what does Ashrei talk about? All the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. V'yishazek liboy be'emunat Hashem, ubozeh yirash olam haba. That's why he will be zeicha to olam haba. Not because he quickly mumbled, fumbled, rattled through Ashrei. It's if he says the word carefully and deliberately and understands what he's saying and he's mishazek in emunah b'derboinu shel olam, for that you're worthy of olam haba. What's the most famous skula of the whole year? All year round. You want to have a good year, what do you have to do? Just have to dip an apple in a honey. You're guaranteed a good year. If you want to dismiss, dispel all your enemies, you have a karti. Sheyichrasu seinenu. You have rubia. Yirubu zuchuyeh seinu. We mustn't chas v'sholom. Chas v'sholom be mezalzel in this. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says that we have the simonim, because we have karti. Karati is, I think, a leak or something. Karati is from the word kares, kares to get cut off. So you're not saying sheyichrasu seinenu, all our enemies should be cut off. Everybody knows that. One second, does everybody know what the Mishnah Berurah says on that halacha? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shloh HaKadosh. And the Shloh HaKadosh asks the most simple of simple questions. He says, one second, what does karati mean? Karate, something to do with cutting. Cutting what? Where is there any hint in the word karate to the fact that our enemies will be cut off? Maybe chas v'shalom, we will be cut off. Maybe my name will be cut off. What cut? Which cut? What cut? It just talks about cutting. You have rubio. What's rubio? Rubio is from the word roi. A lot. So we daven, yirbu zechuye seinu, we should have a lot of zechuye seinu, a lot of merit. Where in the word rubio is there anything to do with merit hinted to? We should have a lot. A lot of what? Maybe we should have a lot of trouble, chas v'shalom. A lot of sorry. Where? Listen to the words of the Shloh. Zot the Shloh HaKadosh. Ha'inyin hu. Now listen to this. Ein shum remez ba'achilas ha'pri. When you eat that fruit, there is zero remez by eating carotene, by eating rubia, nothing. No remez whatsoever. Rak. So how does it work then? What does Chazal mean? Ha-pri hu ha-simen. The pri is a reminder that what? She-yizker ha-adam ve-yis-oirer b'tshuva ve-yis-palel al-hadova hazeh. And when you bring your rubia to the table, what does that remind you of? It reminds you of the word roiv. Ah, this is an opportunity now to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I should have roiv zechuyei seinu. When the karati comes to the table and you eat it, that reminds me of the word karati, something to do with cutting. Okay, opportunity now, my enemy should be cut off. So don't think for a moment, says the Shloh, that you eat the karati and that's it. You're guaranteed all your enemies are dispelled with a cut off, and you have some rubia, you have extra mess. No! Those just trigger a chizuk in emunah and tshuva and tefillah. It's not a skula. It's a very simple mechanism. Another skula. Everybody knows this. What do we say just before Shemana Esra? Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael. We know that's the halacha of being Soymech, Geula L'Tfila. Do you know what the Gemara says in Brachos? Kol HaSoymech, Geula L'Tfila. What happens? Is a Ben Olam Haba. In Olam Haba. That's all you have to do. It's even less than saying Ashrei three times a day. Says Rabbeinu Yoinah, there in Brachos, V'chim et pnei she'Soymech, Geula L'Tfila. Just because you put Geula and Tefillah next to each other, you should get schar that he's a Ben Olam Haba. How does this work? Now, what's his question? Maybe it's a skula.
No, it's not a skula.
It's not a skula. He says, because what are all the previous words? We talk about all the nisim of coming out of Mitzrayim, and we remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful Koyas, and He was the one who vanquished Mitzrayim, and He is the one who can help us today as well. If you daven immediately after that, you'll ultimately daven far, far better, because it's davening mitoich, an understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who could help you. Then you become a Ben Olam Haba. What's a skula? Again, it's just a mechanism to get you to daven better. One more example. One of my favorites. Everybody knows, we were all taught this when we got engaged and married. You come home and want to Shabbos. What's the first thing you should do? Skula for Shalom Bayis. Fold your talis. 1 second. What's the makor of folding a talis? It's a Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham quotes a Maharil, and the Maharil says that when you come home on Motzei Shabbos, you should fold your talis. Why? It's good to start the week off with a mitzvah. That's what it says in the sources. So I was always very curious, where does it come from? We're always told Shalom Bayis, it's good for Shalom Bayis, but I found it was a beautiful thing.
It's
a yoisek in a dvar mitzvah. Talis, a chef to the mitzvah. That's covered for a mitzvah. Rather than having just all higgledy piggledy and all non masudah, you have a talis which is covered for a mitzvah. The Tami Amin Hogim, so that's what someone told me. That's the school of a Shalom Bayis. If you clean up the house, that's the school of a Shalom Bayis. That's not what the Tami Amin Hogim says. The Tami Amin Hogim says, the custom was and is until this very day in many, many kihilos. When a couple get engaged, the kala buys the chosn a talis. Not everybody has this minig, but it's quite a widespread minig. So when he folds his talis, what does he think to himself? Ah, who was the one who brought this to me? It was my wife. I hope, in Mitzvah Hashem, this will be my wife who will buy me the talis. I won't need any others. So I'll daven, and my wife should be healthy and well. That's the skula! So how does it work again? Some freebie skula magic? No, it's just a chetim sifidam, like all the other skulas that were mentioned. You know, Rav Kirshenbaum told us then in the Sheh, that when he became a rov of his shul in Pnei Shmuel, so the first week, Shabbos morning, just before Kriyas HaTorah, he notices a young man in the shul who gets psicha. Fine. Next week, a second Shabbos in the shul, same fellow gets psicha. Strange. Third Shabbos, same fellow gets psicha. He went over to the Gabbai and said, I don't want to mix in, I mean, I'm just new here, but they give the same fellow psicha 3 weeks in a row? He says, Rob, you don't know the skula? Everybody knows when somebody's wife is in the ninth month, you give them psicha, or an akkadish, it's a skula for an easy childbirth. Now, Rav Kirshenbaum spoke about this in no uncertain terms in his shiur, but actually, ad hayom hazeh, he does not allow this skula in his shul. Why doesn't he allow it? Because he said it used to be that what did a person do when their wife is in the ninth month? It's a dam. It's to pour the heart out for the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's my wife should be healthy and well, and she should give birth to a healthy child, and everything should go smoothly, and used to give every stock until somebody discovered, 1 second, there's a skula here. So who needs to daven anymore? So much cheaper, much quicker. So he doesn't allow psicha in his shul. Now again, not for me to express opinions, other rabbonim do allow it, many killers they do it, but the point he's expressing is so important. If a quick and easy, instant, painless skula is chas v'sholem, a replacement for tefillah, then that's the most dangerous thing to avodas Hashem, because avodas Hashem is not about freebies. When Rabbi Yashar, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, had his first great-great-grandson, fifth generation, son, grandson, great-great-grandson, in Bnei Brak. They were mechabed Rabbi Yashar to be the son that got the bris. So he sent them back a message, no, I can't come. At that stage he wasn't leaving Yerushalayim anymore, it's too much of a trip, I didn't go out of Yerushalayim. So his son-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Sheyarech Yomim Shibod L'chaim Tovim,
discovered a Maimer Chazal somewhere, which he sent a message to his father-in-law, that it says tremendous things. If you're in attendance of the Brit at the fifth generation, whoa, you get straight into Olam Haba. So Rabbi Yashav apparently sent back a message, my whole life I've been trying to get into Olam Haba the conventional way. I'm not looking at this stage to slip in through the back door. You know, in our day and age, for example, tzedakah has become a big, big, super duper business. It's rare to find anybody anymore who actually gives tzedakah because it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, period. All the flyers and all the posters, if you give this, you get a skula for this, and a skula for that, and a skula for the other, and if you give 180 shekel a month, you get a skula for this. 1 second. The Torah says it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, that's quite a good skula. This is what we're learning in our mission. V'chiyodav shal Moshe oisleis melchama. Can it be that all of Klal Yisrael was zeicha to atzlacha? Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu lift up his hands, that's all it was? Says the Mishnah Chas Hashem. All came about through tefillah. As we saw in the Yom Teruah. On whose part? Everybody's part. Moshe Rabbeinu davened. How did he get the koyach to daven? Because Klal Yisrael mistaka libam klapa milam. Then you can be zeicha to siyata b'shmaya. If you say Ashrei 3 times a day, if you say Mechgu'ula Yisrila, if you say the Parashat Hamon, or the Korbonus, or the Aseret Adibus, or whatever it may be, they're eating your apple on the Rosh Hashanah night. If it's a way of triggering a chizuk in tefillah, or in emuna, or in chizuk in avodas Hashem, of course, so we can be zeicha to siyata b'shmaya. I want to just say a final line. I don't want anybody chas v'sholom to misunderstand or misquote what we said this evening. We must never be mezalzel or mock any sgula, if that's what Klal Yisrael do, if it's a minhag, we don't tamper with minhag, we don't touch them. We don't touch with the minhag of Klal Yisrael. We only just recently mentioned in the morning shir the most mind-blowing Avni Nezer you'll ever see. Avni Nezer wrote a letter about 130, 140 years ago to a community where they wanted to change the minhag of calling people up to the Torah by name. They wanted to change that minhag. They wanted to say, rather than saying Yamoid, Pliny ben Pliny, they just wanted to say Yamoid Chamishi. And they would go up to the phone, you're getting Chamishi, Yamoid Chamishi. You know what he writes back? It's worth seeing it inside. It's unbelievable. He says, this is the minhag of Klal Yisrael. And he proves it, and he's married. He says, if you change it, Yehoreg va'aliyah avoir. Yehoreg va'aliyah avoir is a principle that we apply to Avodah Zorah, Gilui Aroyos, and Shvichas Domim. You rather have to be killed than transgressing. He says, if you change the minhag of Klal Yisrael, Yehoreg va'aliyah avoir. So we have to be very, very careful. Chas v'shalom. We don't touch minhagim, we don't tamper with them, and we certainly don't mock them. And if there are certain skulos in Klal Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael are noyeg to, then chas v'shalom, they are kodesh kodshim, and they're not to be touched. We're not chas v'shalom trying to be mezalzel in any minig or skula which has a makoy of Klal Yisrael. Rather, we're just trying to point out that when you look in the sources, you will see that invariably, almost always, and probably always, ultimately, the way that this skula is just working is, in different ways, it's a mechanism to trigger tefillah, or to trigger a chizuk in avodas Hashem, or to trigger a chizuk in emunah and bitachon. So the skula without the understanding, you know, we mentioned before that, in the name of Rabbeinu Bachai, let me just finish with these words. Rabbeinu Bachai says that if you learn the parasha of the Korbanos, he said, it's as if you were actually makriv them. He says, if you understand and you read them, you know what he says there in conclusion? Ki ein loima. Don't suggest for one moment that the kavana of Chazal is you should just say the words mibli sheyisvoinin bapirushon without any understanding in their explanation. Don't say that. Why not? Do you know he brings a proof? He doesn't. No proof. It was unnecessary to bring a proof. It was poshut to Rabbeinu Bachai that when Chazal say, if you learn the parasha of the Korbanos, if you actually sacrifice, it doesn't mean just rambling through the words. It can't be. Why can't it be? Because it just can't be. Because that's not what Avodas Hashem is about. Freebies, quick, instant, quick and easy. That's not what it's about. As we said, if it's a minor Chazal, it's a minor Chazal. There's a skula which has makoris in Chazal. Chas v'shalom, you mustn't touch it. You mustn't chas v'shalom be mazal with it. A minig in Klal Yisrael is a minig. But what we've seen tonight is that if you look into the makoris and you investigate, you will see that the minhagim and the skulos that Chazal taught us are all just mechanisms, different shapes and sizes and colors, but they're all mechanisms from the chazakas in tefillah and avodas Hashem and in hashkocha and in emunah and bitochen. Can the hands of Moshe make and break war? Maybe it was a skula, says the Mishnah. It just can't be. That was the Mishnah's kasha. It can't be. And the answer is, indeed it wasn't. When Klal Yisrael were mistaklim klapamalo, and they were mishtabed libom ram shamayim, as the Yom Shura says, they were mishtabed libom tokadosh baruch hu, and that gave koyach to Moshe Rabbeinu to daven. So ultimately, what brought about the hatzlocha in the war? Oh, then the Mishnah is happy. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.